Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
North Carolina, first in flight.
About gaining control of your life and letting go at the same time. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball. Grip it and rip it.
But this week, it's all about ball flight, bogeys, and birdies.
Watch the birdie.
This is Dirt and Sprague on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com/1080 AM, The Fan. We've got a fox at the top of the hen house right now, TJ Championship. I'm not going to pretend to know who that is.
Come on, you're not a Ryan Fox guy?
Ryan Fox out of New Zealand.
I'm not a fan of Ryan Fox out of New Zealand.
Tommy Fleetwood, surely going to choke his lead away.
Hey, you calm down the hatred of Tommy Fleetwood. This is his year, man.
I love Tommy Fleetwood.
This is the time. Fairway Jesus has never won a PGA Tour event. He's going to win a PGA Championship this weekend.
Just put his kid back out there. Maybe he'll reach the green. I want to remind you guys, Tuesday, June 24th, your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. I am serious. It's also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. We're going to have morning, to my knowledge, unless you've got news to share about the afternoon round.
As far as I know, there is still that last remaining foursome. Okay. I have not been updated that it has gone.
Have we ever had a foursome have sex at the Fan Golf Classic?
I don't think so.
Excuse me?
Like golf in the trees?
Maybe.
That downhill par 3's got a lot of trees.
We've had a couple of hole-in-ones, so if you can have that, you know.
That's the point.
You never know what could happen.
Well, if you're interested, you could join us at Langdon Farms Tuesday, June 24th, because you've got a Victor Rico's breakfast burrito on the menu.
Swag will be waiting for you in the red shed.
You've
come on in. Peekaboo.
Where did that come from? Why me?
I have you wearing leather for some reason.
I love meat.
I don't know.
I'm the least adventurous person in this station.
I got you with a leash around your neck like, welcome to the red shit. Oh, that's a...
You need the password?
Yeah.
What's your safe word to get out of here?
Pineapples. Matt's Barbecue will be catering as well, and foursomes can be purchased right now. If you're kinky or you're a golfer, go to 1080thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. That was not an image I needed in my head at 7 o'clock.
That was all him. Don't look at
me. No, this is your fault. You brought up sex. I don't know what the hell you're thinking about over
there. Why did you choose him?
I don't know. He's the first one that popped to mind. Why not?
Well,
it's a little disturbing. I
think you know who he'd choose if this was a prison show.
Let's go, Swag. Red Shed, now.
I've got one hand in my pocket. We had a lot to get to. Tyler Rucker's going to join us from the No Ceilings Pod. I'm excited to talk to him at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker. We'll evaluate all the things through the draft. Who's the player right now at the back of the mocks of the lottery that he is kind of circling, saying, wouldn't be surprised if this player takes a massive leap? And what are we realistically looking where the Portland Trailblazers are? Now, the last Magic Hat thing that you picked was, what will the impact be? And I have been thinking a lot about this for the last 48 hours, thought a lot about this yesterday. With the fallout of the ownership announcement, paired with short-term extension, paired with 11th pick in the draft, this is a massive moment, because there's two takeaways here. And I know these are kind of obvious takeaways, but there's only two takeaways. They're either going to look at this collectively, Cronin and Billups, and say, our jobs are now on the line. Not with this regime.
No.
But when that next regime comes in, the clock's ticking.
If it's not working out, they're going
to
clean house.
Owners like to choose their own people.
Yeah.
So are they going to rush this process and say, what can we do move-wise to move up further in the standings next year versus who can we pick at 11 that Mike Schmitz identifies and says, that is a steal of a draft pick. That's going to be a very good player for us in the next two seasons. And new ownership comes in and says, you guys are a feisty little team with a good young roster. You may not have that stars, but damn, you got a lot of, you got some good players on this team with Tumani, and maybe Klingon takes that step, and Denny, his contract goes down year by year.
Yeah.
Maybe that pick at 11 is Derek Queen, for argument's sake, and he is the next Kevin Love in some ways. Like, I'm just fascinated how the impact of the ownership announcement will dictate what moves they're going to make.
Yeah, I'd be curious in the short term how much it dictates it at all, because you got to remember, we're how many months away from this sale becoming official and having an actual new governor of the Blazers, right? Like, how long down the road are we looking? It's at least a calendar year until, at the minimum, until there's a new owner in place that's able to dictate the direction that they're going to go. It might be a little bit longer than that. Some people have estimated it could take up to 18 months. Like,
yeah, what's the interest of the team right on the open billionaire market?
It's just, it's going to take some time to untangle all of this stuff, and for a new, you know, you got to buy it, and you got to get the approval, and then it's just, it's a whole process. So I don't have that thought as much in the short term as I do the long term, and what will the vision of the new owner be, and how hands-on will they be? Like, if you want to try and spin the positive long-term angle of the Blazers, there's two things you point at. One is the future draft capital that they have from the Milwaukee Bucks, which looks enticing depending on what happens with Giannis this offseason. And then two, the amount of money that you're going to have off your books next offseason. I believe Jeremy Grant's an expiring. I believe, or no, maybe not Grant, but I know Ant Simons is expiring and Ayton is expiring.
Well, Ant's expiring for now.
For now. But that's one of the things that people like to tout who are pro long-term Blazers. Say, look how much money you're going to have to go spend next offseason. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked the question about next offseason is how aggressive are you going to be, and what will the message and the course correction be from a new owner if they are in place of, this is the way I want to go. It's been one of my biggest frustrations for the last 7 years. I feel like you've just been kind of blowing in the wind back and forth, one toe in each water. You haven't fully committed to either going all in with Damian Lillard like you said you were going to, or let's bottom this thing out and get better. And then in the year where it was probably the best draft class of the bunch, you decided to not bottom out and you were too good. So you've kind of had toes in both waters. How will the new owner change that message?
Well, I think everything about their messaging publicly is basically they're keeping this pick and they're going to use it and they're going to draft a player. That's, I have no other reason to think otherwise. They love to say the term rookie scale contracts. We know that Schmitz really values finding that young talent. And so if you can get him at a cheap price and it's a player that maybe they internally think that's a top eight player and he's going to fall to us at 11, then they're going to think that's already great value on a cheap contract. I guess what I would ask in follow up to what you said, and I'm legitimately asking Blazer fans out there this today, is there evidence? You say how aggressive they're going to be. Is there evidence they're aggressive?
Not at all. The Blazers, no. But you're going to have a new owner for the first time in a long time. Not a long time. But Jody was an absentee owner for a while.
The Vulcans are going to be out of
here.
Sure.
You're
going to
have a new person. I'm playing in my head a Matt Ishbia type buys the team. What is next offseason going to look like? You think they're just going to come in and be like, yeah, what the hell? We got a young team without an all-star. Let's roll this thing out for another 3 years?
Well, the Vulcans are going to own it next year. Next season is
going
to be an
I'm not talking this upcoming season. I'm saying a year from now.
Six, seven.
Potentially, and then that next season. When you're going into next offseason is when you might have a new owner in place.
But that's why I'm asking, what will that impact be? Will it be, we took a step and we were the 10 seed, and man, we were feisty in that play-in game, but they didn't make it. And then they're running it back with whatever that next group is. And they're saying,
same young core.
We can maybe be the 7 seed next year. And is that going to be enough for the new ownership group? So I just, there's a lot of, I thought it was a good point by Dusty yesterday of like, announcing both GM coach multi-year extensions is not something we're always accustomed to seeing here.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a clear, like, these are three-year deals.
They also didn't do them at the same time, too. That was the interesting part.
They were a little staggered.
Yeah. I just, like, with keeping the 11th pick and drafting a guy.
They're going to.
They are going to.
And if they don't, look, I'll come to the OA and say, hallelujah, yeah. I'm surprised, but.
Them doing the aggressive thing would be very out of their nature as of right now.
If you're going to say that you're this close, trading that pick would actually make more sense versus, oh, man, this guy should have been 7th, but he fell to 11. Yeah. It's like, yeah, well.
I would say look at your last couple of first-round picks. Shaden is now going into year 4. Where are we at on Shaden? Mm-hmm. And is he ready to be a contributing player on a playoff team? Scoot is now going into year 3, right? Ask yourself the same question about Scoot, and Klingon is going into year 2. I think it's a reminder of the 11th overall pick is it's going to take some seasoning time. You're not getting a guy who's going to come in right away and be a surefire can't-miss prospect. Doesn't mean he can't turn into an all-star. Doesn't mean he can't be anything. Mm-hmm. But that's the part of this that I find interesting is you're telling me you're so close and look at the development we made, but we're going to take a guy with that pick instead of getting somebody who maybe helps the team win right away. We're going to get somebody who's going to take 2 or 3 years, and you're just pushing out that timeline a little bit further.
Real quick, too, because I'm going to break this up since we talked to Tyler Rucker at the bottom of the hour. What did Chauncey do this year that none of us were expecting, but maybe we should have given more consideration? Job preservation. Multi-year contract extensions is 2 to 3 years at most. New ownership group here in 2 years.
Yeah.
That puts you on the clock. So are they operating in a job preservation state of mind? Or are they going to operate in the, nah, we can be patient. We can build this out on our timeline, regardless of the ownership situation. And that's the fascinating part to me is, do they now feel a little sped up because they're not blindsided by this news the way we were? They've known this was coming for months. Months. I had somebody tell me in the media that internally a local reporter knew about this weeks ago and told another reporter, and the reporter never reported it because they didn't want to source it and they're not in the breaking news business. Mm. So this is not something, it blindsided us on when it dropped, but people behind the scenes have known this was coming. So how are they going to operate on the job preservation, do this as quickly as possible, or nah, not rushed, we'll do this how we want to do this on our timeline.
Have a 7-year build out.
Well, maybe 7, maybe 4, whatever it is.
Are we opening a five-year window now? We got a new 5-year window? Is that what you're telling me?
There is a new 5-year window.
We got a new 5-year window?
That window's opening.
That window is open. I'm looking through it. Hello, 5 years.
Hey, Neil. How you doing out there?
Hey.
Remember when you were in here?
How's the lake? Lake Oswego. I can get in your lake now, Neil. You can't kick me out. It's a public lake.
I do have you, like, floating on.
Cousin Eddie Speedo.
Yeah, dude, Speedo. No
hey,
shirt.
Neil! Remember when you wouldn't trade CJ?
God, I hate that guy. all right, let's break this up. Tyler Rucker will join us coming up for the Daily Ticker at 7:30. Coming up next, couple NFL schedule takeaways. People got super amped up.
I got takeaways. I got a lot of takeaways.
Oh, I love that.
How do you not? NFL schedule release? Dude, it gets your juices going.
I
we can all make fun of it. It has the same impact on all of us.
All right, we'll get to it next on The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tyler Rucker's going to join us coming up of the No Ceilings pod at the bottom of the hour. Get his thoughts from the combine takeaways. We've got length, we've got strength, we've got height, we've got girth.
I got a lot of girth.
The NFL schedule was released.
Yes, it was.
A lot of girth in that schedule. There's a lot going on there.
Takeaways that you guys had that made you excited?
Why are we... that made me excited.
Oh, excited.
Ooh. Well, I think people get really jacked about this for some reason.
I know, they do.
I do. I do. When I see it, the releases are always funny. I love looking at the schedule. I wish college football did this every year. I think it's dumb that they don't, but our non-conference games are scheduled out through 2052, so we can't do this.
They're slowly rolling out like primetime games
like,
in college
this should
right
be,
now.
Like, imagine this for college football. Like, Oregon plays LSU and Clemson in non-conference. Fun. Like, you just,
how
that would
Oregon
be awesome.
How come Oregon doesn't do the NFL thing where their socials create this good idea to do the schedule?
I mean, they should, but you kind of already know what the, I mean, we know what the schedule is.
You know,
so it's
what
not
that doesn't
reveal.
Make the content. Yeah, but you have an idea of who you're going to play in the NFL. You just don't know.
That's true. You don't know when the dates are going to be.
Dates and times and all that. Like, it'd still be really,
well,
if Oregon did a video, right, it'd be good.
Well, it's because the TV's, the NFL runs the entire thing. The TV networks run college football, and so because they leave it up to 2 weeks out to determine what time they're going to kick games based on who's hot or not.
Yeah, you're in your little window. You got to wait for the window to open
hot
up.
Or not.
Hot or not. I mean, look, the takeaways that got me excited are, one, just the schedule itself.
Here we
the
go.
NFL schedule
you can put
gets
it on
me
the schedule.
Incredibly excited. I know that makes me a loser, but I don't care looking at it. We're all going to have takeaways of this is an easy schedule or this is a hard schedule, and then teams will be better or worse than we thought, and it'll all change.
I think the Seahawks, they got most of their toughest games at home.
I had two takeaways of easiest and hardest, and I'm going to do it. I don't care. You can shake your head all you want at me.
I'm just shaking head at that comment and what you're about to say.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
I think they got all their heart. Yeah, you don't know who's going to be good at
that. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. I know. I know.
Sure.
The one that stood out the hardest to me was Detroit. Detroit, I think you're always worried about when you've been at the top of the mountain, is there, or not quite the top, but you know what I mean, near the peak of the mountain.
Oh, I got a worse team, a far worse team than Detroit that I think has a much harder schedule.
Well, that's great for them if they're a worse team, because then they probably want a better draft pick, so maybe it pans
out
well for them in the long run.
I don't think they're in a position where that matters.
So Green Bay, Detroit's road schedule this year, at Green Bay, at Baltimore. Any gimmies there yet? Huh? Mr. Laughs a lot.
They play Green Bay every year on the road. Yeah.
At Cincinnati.
Okay.
At Kansas City. Have I found a non-playoff team yet? Who knows? Probably not. At the Commanders. At the Eagles. And then you close up at the Rams before Vikings and Bears at the end of the season. That is a brutal road schedule for the Detroit Lions. It's an upcoming season. So that was a takeaway for me.
They're the best team in the NFC. They should have a hard schedule.
I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying regression. Who's going to take a step back? Who's going to take a step forward? That's hard to navigate. That's a tough road schedule.
Go look. Now do this. Look up the Giants schedule.
Oh, the Giants probably have the worst schedule in the NFL.
Dude, it's crazy.
They're going to draft Arch Manning next year. And the positive takeaway
with
a new, you know, the new coach and a GM. The positive takeaway, I went in the same division as Swag, but I went to a different team. And the easiest schedule takeaway for me was the 49ers. The 49ers have a cakewalk of a schedule this year.
No.
That was my first takeaway of like, wow, that's helps to be in last place for a year or wherever place they were in last season. Then look at that. You get the benefit of it. You're playing a lot of their road game, New Orleans. You do have LA, obviously, division, Tampa. You go to Houston, then you get New York, Arizona, Cleveland, Indy, Tennessee, Carolina.
They lost to Cleveland a couple years ago when Cleveland wasn't good and the Niners were good, and it made no sense.
Made no sense.
I think it was P.J. Walker.
That sounds right.
Was
it was an ugly game. I think
the
Niners missed a field goal to win the game in a cold weather game. But they have a very manageable schedule this year. Jacksonville's on there.
Yeah, the Seahawks road games, their toughest one will be at the Commanders. That's November 2nd.
You don't know.
Yeah, well,
you don't know. That was my other thing yesterday.
Outside of their division.
Keep playing your game, Swag. I'm with
outside
you.
Outside of their
up
division, they
down.
Go to the Steelers in week two. Who's going to be their starting quarterback?
We don't know. Rages. I like their chances there.
They go to the Jaguars October 12th.
We keep poo-pooing the Jags. I hear this dirt promo play all the time on commercial breaks, and I'm like,
Duval.
That dude's probably going to get Lawrence back, and it's
Liam
not
Cohen doesn't scare me at all. Get the hell out of here. They don't even know where Travis Hunter's going to play, offense or defense.
They go to the Titans, November 23rd.
Cakewalk.
Cam Ward's good.
They're at the Falcons on December 7th.
Keep it going.
So we're poo-pooing the Falcons, who were...
Penix going to be any good? I don't know. Playing a half of a game at the end of the regular season.
Seahawks make the playoffs last year?
And then they're at the Panthers.
No, but they upgraded a quarterback.
Second to the last
the Falcons
week.
Make the playoffs last year? I don't know what we're doing here. We're acting like Seattle's this juggernaut and the Falcons
they're not. I'm saying their schedule is...
You don't know.
I see what you're doing here, Swag.
Their toughest games are going to be at home, save for at the Commanders November 2nd on Sunday night.
All of this is so stupid. All of this.
You're stupid.
Yeah, that's right. You are stupid.
Look at you diving into the juvenile comeback. Nobody
that was well played.
Nobody had the Vikings at 14-3 last year. Not
I
a
did.
Single soul.
I did. I picked
no, you
it.
Didn't.
I picked it in
no,
August.
You didn't.
I picked them to win the division.
No, you didn't.
Even though they didn't win the division.
So, like, who's good and what's hard? Nobody knows. It's six teams a year trade into the playoffs, trade out of the playoffs every single season.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody knows what's going to be good.
The NFL schedule's out. Who's got it better than us? This is great.
Did you guys quickly, before we go to Tyler Rucker, did you guys have a favorite schedule release team?
I've watched probably 9 or 10 of them.
I liked the Rams.
The Rams was pretty good.
Rams was song good.
And who is she?
Chargers Minecraft was
made her fame on Disney Channel shows.
Okay.
And is now married to Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
And she's a super LA fan.
Got
it. She's actually legitimately argues about the Two Deep about Rams stuff.
The London thing was pretty funny. The guy coming on doing the Duval in a London accent. Duval. Because I could have gone.
Duval.
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 That one was, yeah, I mean, I was a little underwhelmed this year. I feel like they've set the bar really high in years past. The Chargers are always great. They had one for their game against the Raiders where they said, Raider fan, click here. And then it sent them to a QR code. And then like 27 QR
good.
Codes after that. And then so promise, only one more. And then it was just a big L on the thing at the end of it.
Oh, I thought the QR code took them to register for the National Clown Organization.
Oh, I didn't. Maybe that was for a different one. I don't know. I thought the Raider one was an L. But they're always pretty creative. But overall, not... You know, it's me.
But I actually think college should do those.
They absolutely should.
Nobody cares that, oh, we already know the schedule. Yeah, so what?
Do a reveal.
Troll your rival.
I mean, we shouldn't know the schedule. That's the problem.
What would the Ducks make if it was a Washington week? That'd probably be good, right?
It'd be pretty solid, yeah.
What would the, you know, Huskies probably just holding the trophy and watching the Ducks fly into zero.
What trophy? Half of a
the national
half,
championship trophy
split
that
in
they
half
have
one?
In their
did
facility.
They half of one?
The thing you guys don't have?
Did they glue it together?
You
we got
I mean?
We got a wolf title, bitch.
Yeah. Howling. Really howling now.
We're howling with our rings. 13-0. Get you one of those.
The picture I sent you guys, by the way, last night, side note, on the Timberwolves winning the series, I sent that out last year, and I'm kind of afraid to send it out again.
Don't be afraid.
I'll send it out if they win the West.
Also, don't be afraid of your NFL schedule takes. It's okay. We know you got them. We know you looked at the schedule yesterday and you thought, ooh, I kind of like that game. Ooh, I like that schedule. I know you did. We all do.
I'm going to forget all those games.
Yeah, dude,
I'll forget them all.
That's the beauty of it. We'll all forget, but it's damn
you
fun.
You got to have a take. Got to have a reaction.
Give a take. Yeah. Give me a take.
That's a weird. That's a long.
Let's
we
go.
Make fun of Francesa. Everybody played that game that was a fan of a team.
Game by game. Tampa, Houston, week 2, Monday
all
Night
right.
Football. It's
all right, enough of me.
Solid right there.
Let's go to the NBA Draft Combine. Tyler Rucker of the No Ceilings Pod joins us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries and available now at a store near you. Joining us now, let's talk some NBA draft, shall we? The Blazers get the 11th overall pick in the lottery the other night. What are we looking at with the big board? Joining us now, Tyler Metcalf, friend of the show, the No Ceilings podcast, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. Tyler, good morning to you. Blazers get the 11th overall pick. Just in generalities, how should Blazer fans feel about that?
This is kind of a tough way to start. Good morning, but unfortunately disappointed. It's kind of a tough range for them because there are some really fun shooters and wings. They'll probably end up going a little before that. There's plenty of talent to be excited about, but I think they're kind of in this range where they might just be a little bit behind where they wanted some of their top guys. So it'll be really interesting to see if they keep the pick, if they move it, or just kind of what route they go, given how the draft falls.
Yeah, how do you gauge this? I think the tough thing for us out here is we look at the mocks, and you guys do such an exceptional job, is just gauging, are you finding somebody that's going to fall because of the amount of talent in this draft versus taking maybe a swing, a player that isn't projected to go necessarily as high, but they're at 11 because maybe the upside's high enough. Like, if you're advising the Blazers, how are you gauging what's going to be around in the 10, 11, 12 area?
Yeah, and the way they've kind of approached their drafts, especially in these last couple of years, is taking the biggest swing possible and taking the highest upside guy and then trying to fill in for fit and need with some of their later picks or in free agency or, you know, even trades like we saw with that Denny trade. But I'm really fascinated to see, because we see it every year, someone inevitably falls, at least a little bit, and whether that's going to be Kasper Jakusconis or maybe Con Knipple, who's been one of the hottest names on the street currently. I think he'll probably go top 5, 6, 7, but if he falls, he's a perfect fit, and this is a really kind of a tough center class. So if teams reach on some bigs like a Kaman Malawach and maybe a couple guys like a Derek Queen and Thomas Sorber, if teams in the top 10 ahead of Portland reach a little bit on those guys, it could push some of those really fun and intriguing guards or wings who provide a little bit more shooting and athleticism down to where the Blazers are.
Interesting. We're talking with Tyler Metcalf, No Ceilings podcast, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. If you're just to kind of ballpark the where the number runs out on, if you're, you know, this X number of players are elite or guys that I would be kind of tripping over myself to go get, is it 4 guys? Is it 5, 7, 8? How many names kind of jump out in your head of, ooh, that guy's got a legitimate chance to go be a star in the NBA?
I would probably be around like that 4 mark with 5 and 6 peeking in with a little more of an outside chance where if a lot of things go right, they could definitely hit there. But like the 3 biggest names and obviously the 2 biggest ones are Cooper Flagg, who's in my eyes the best college prospect since Anthony Davis, Dylan Harper, who looks like a mix of De'Aaron Fox and Cade Cunningham. Ace Bailey's upside is tremendously high. I'm a huge Trey Johnson fan. And then you have guys like VJ Edgecombe and Jeremiah Fears, who have some pretty major holes in their game, but when you look at how much they've grown over the last year and factor in the intangibles and then along with what they do on the court, there's some really exceptionally fun outcomes with them if a couple things go right.
Yeah, Tyler, you know, Derek Queen has been mocked a little bit by some as in that area where the Blazers are. I think technically he's listed at as center. We've got one of those. I know their games aren't exactly the same. Is Queen one of the players that you think can mold into a 4 at the next level? And is that one that makes sense with what Portland currently is?
It's really tricky with Queen because his offensive game is so exceptionally fun. I mean, we see the footwork, the passing, especially going back to high school. He's got so much more passing to his game, kind of like Klingon showed in college and a little less so in his rookie year. But the big thing with Queen, if he's going to transition down to the 4, which I think he'll inevitably need to, is he's going to have a major body transformation like we saw from Naz Reid in Minnesota, and where he's able to utilize his footwork and agility a little better since he's not the most explosive athlete. And then that outside shot's really going to have to come around. The mid-range numbers are good. The touch is encouraging. The outside numbers weren't great this year. He's never been much of a shooter, but I think there are some indicators that long-term he can grow into that role. So if the shot really takes a step forward like we kind of think and hope it does. And it's paired with that, you know, pretty significant body transformation. I definitely think there's some really high level outcomes for him as the 84.
Yeah, it's interesting because with the 11th overall pick, I think we all are in agreement the chances of landing something are slim. But we have seen 11th overall, but you know, SGA, for example, going to win MVP this year. He was the 11th overall pick. So there have been some of them. I'm curious to ask you just on the upside of like a player you're willing to gamble on that clearly it's an unknown, but somebody you said, man, whether it's his physical traits, whether it's the shooting ability, whether it's the intelligence that comes with the game, whatever the case may be, is there a guy there at 11, if they do keep the pick, which we think that they will, you say, you know, that is definitely worth the swing. I wouldn't peg him as an all-star or an MVP kind of guy, but if X, Y, and Z goes right, that kind of gamble makes sense there at 11.
Carter Bryant, small forward from Arizona, is really, really high on my list. And the type of guy you kind of talk about, awesome athlete. And, you know, I just talked about body transformation with Queen, but I saw Carter 2 years ago and then 3 years ago even out at Nike Hoop Summit, and the way that his body transformed in terms of putting on significant muscle, getting more explosive while not losing any of that lateral agility was incredibly impressive. And all year his role at Arizona was really frustrating because Tommy Lloyd didn't play him a ton, but every time he was on the court he just produced winning basketball and made that team so much better. And for a freshman role player to do that is really rare. He might be the best perimeter defender in this class, really big time athlete, smart passer. I buy the shot as that off ball kind of 3-and-D role player wing. I really love his upside. He'll continue to improve. You know, the outcomes with him get a lot more exciting. And then some older guys who I think make a ton of sense are Neek Clifford from Colorado State, Rashear Fleming from St. Joseph's, and then one of the fastest risers in this draft, Cedric Howard from Washington State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say, though, on the side there, Tyler, my producer was in my ear literally as we were asking you that last question, and he goes, Carter Bryant's the guy I wanted you to ask about. And literally the question goes, and you say Carter Bryant. And hearing about Carter Bryant, who I believe is listed at 6'8", and he's got good frame, as you mentioned, he's only 19 years old. Perimeter defense is great. That's kind of right up their alley. They talked a lot at the end of the season about their defense, and that was the turning point for the way they kind of ended their season. Tamani Kamara took a big step. How is he as an offensive player? Is still really raw? Can he develop a three-point shot if he doesn't have one yet? How do you view Carter Bryant? Good defender. How is he offensively?
Yeah, the handle needs a lot of work, so I wouldn't view him as, oh, maybe this is some fun small forward jumbo creator type guy. Mm-hmm. But as like a connective passer, he keeps the ball moving, makes smart reads, sees the floor really well, really good cutter, above the rim finisher, super athletic, crashes the offensive glass. And I really do buy the shot. I think the mechanics are really good. He's improved every year over the past couple of years through high school and then at Arizona. It's just really tough when we watch that Arizona film because of the role that he was given. And so much of their offense was Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley dribbling the air out of the ball and kind of going ISO. And he was just there to clean up plays and finish it out. So I think he has so much more growth left in his game that I would be pretty surprised if he's not 38, 39, maybe even 40 at the peak of his career from outside. And he's at 37.1% from three this year. So I think there are really, really high or exciting outcomes with him. I just can't stress enough that it's as an off-ball guy, and there isn't. I would be really surprised if there's that on-ball role that he grows into.
You know, for covering prospects and the draft process as well as you guys do, I'm curious how much, because I listen to the pod and I'm fascinated by this side of it. You guys understand the value of these draft picks. You understand that these are the next waves and the franchise turning type players for a lot of teams. Portland leaned in last year at the end and said, no, we want to try to get an Alex Sarr. Didn't work out for him in the draft, but they got Klingon. The year before that, they did it. They got Scoot. And they did the year before that, they ended up with Shaedon Sharpe. So I'm curious from your vantage point in a draft that you guys had been talking about last year in this same time of the talent and whatnot, do you look at teams like Portland and you say, what? because we didn't really shut it down. We lost a couple games at the end, but largely they never really shut it down this year. That confused us out here. We just assumed they would because they had. They didn't, and it's a deeper draft. What was your takeaway, I guess, of the way Portland handled the way that their season ended versus what they had done the three previous seasons?
Yeah, and it's always kind of a tough line to ride because you're rebuilding until you're not, but you also don't want to get stuck in that kind of treadmill of mediocrity either. I think I really liked how they approached this season because they were relatively healthy for most of the year, and at some point you have to start establishing a winning culture and winning habits and learn how to win games, because if you just keep funneling in young talent without the expectations and the experience and the discipline making the playoffs, you never really learn it. So I think for a lot of these guys, it gets really undersold how important having some of those winning practices is. It would have been great if they were able to bring in another top five pick to this young core. But when you bring in a guy like Denny, who had the season he did, and Tumani makes the jump like he did, and Scoot is steadily starting to figure some stuff out, and then you're getting the impact from your front court as well, at some point you have to start winning games and figure out what that feels like. And in a draft like this, where there are some really, in that 10 to 14 range in that back half of the lottery, there's some talented role players that you can get. I don't think it's the worst thing by any means.
Interesting. Tyler Metcalf, great stuff from him. No Ceilings podcast at No Ceilings NBA. You can give him a follow on Twitter at TMetcalf11. We always appreciate the time, man. Great insight on the draft, the prospects. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Tyler Metcalf talking some NBA draft.
May or may not have gotten my... It moved.
Oh, it's already moving. Oh. Look at you. How blazer of you.
It's a massive... Look, I have taken myself to the place where I don't disagree with our overall takeaways of how all of this ended, right?
You're already back in.
Well,
easy. You're back in.
What I'm in is like, this is where that front office... You have a lot to prove to me, and you're not at a great spot, but you're at a spot where he mentioned one player, and I'm like, that kind of fits exactly what they're looking for and aiming to do. Are you going to do that, or are you going to go a big who might be a center but could eventually play the power forward position? I am all in on this is an important moment. You cannot miss on this player. Even if you're at 11, you cannot miss, because a lot of people feel like you've already missed on your third pick, and some people don't know how to feel about your seventh pick from a few years ago. So I think it just strikes that much more importance of, are you going to miss at 11, or are you going to find the player that maybe teams didn't give enough consideration to?
Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with strata hops made with real blackberries, and available now at a store near you. Tyler Metcalf and Jason Swigard, simpatico. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot coming up in the final hour of the show. As you know, Yasiel Puig's only one shot off the lead of the PGA Championship.
It's Colin Cowherd going to come on.
According to Colin Cowherd, the next face of Major League Baseball is right there. I didn't know he changed sports. He's right there in the mix. One shot
also
off.
Changed countries. Apparently now he's from Spain.
He's a Spaniard now. When the hell did that happen? News to me, man.
I mean, the way the Olympics go, if you have anything in you, you can just go.
Joel Embiid now plays for Team USA.
Damn right he does.
We didn't make enough fun of that. That was pretty ridiculous.
Is he Cameroon? Joel Embiid, right?
I believe so.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Get out of here.
That is David Puig.
Yeah.
Or David.
That's Yasiel's brother.
That's his brother, though. Yeah. And maybe he changed his name. The thing in Cuba got a little hairy when he had to escape the island. Now he's go by David now, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny when things kind of align. In this segment, I was going to react to our guest, and then Swag teased something earlier in the show. And he said, I got a guy. I got a guy I love in this draft that nobody's talking about.
I got to give credit. Like full transparency said, literally, there's a dude I love in this draft
that nobody's mentioning. Every time I saw him play, I loved him. And then in the middle of the interview, I ask, who's that random guy at 11, Tyler Metcalf, that you like that maybe nobody's talking about?
Guy.
He gives the answer. Swag's over there going, touchdown, Jesus, saying I called it. You love yourself some Carter Bryant, Jason Swigard.
If you look at just, like he said, the physical nature of him, 6'9", 220 pounds, you would watch. And if he was out there with Caleb Love and some of the other veterans, he didn't know what to do. Because all they did was pound the ball till there was 3 seconds left on the shot clock. But his shot, his stroke is really nice. There are a couple times he got on heaters, like off the bench, and the bench would make a run after Caleb Love was in a, 2-for-16 effort and pull him back into it. I think the shot will get really good. He was 37% last year as a freshman, and he's got range. He can step back, to that 27-28 foot range and comfortable there. So the big thing, like he said, he didn't have the ball much in his hand. So turnovers will be an issue early on. That's the piece that he really needs to work on. But from what he could do physically, athletically, fitting into the three, which is where the Blazers desperately need somebody.
I mean, don't we have Kamara, though? Isn't that the identical player to Kamara?
Well, okay, I think Kamara's
a guy who's an elite
four.
Defender who doesn't have much of an offensive game off the dribble.
You think Kamara's a four?
Yeah.
Like, that was the only thing I was thinking when he's given that answer. All of it sounds intriguing, but
Denny?
We literally have that guy.
Here's my thing, okay?
And that's the thing is...
It's positionless game now,
It's a positionless game. He's going to need a couple of years. He's still young. He's fresh. I think he's 19.
It sounds like he's pretty raw offensively.
He's pretty raw.
That's fine. I think, Tyler, that was, and I'm not going to get into details, so please don't turn this on me. The most stressful pre-interview process I've ever had in my entire life.
You were sweating a little bit over there.
I wasn't sweating, buddy. I was about to throw up. I had a huge thing happen. Anyways,
by the way, size and strength are almost identical. In fact, Carter Bryant's an inch taller, according to ESPN. At least I didn't see his measurements at the combine. Tamani, according to ESPN, is 6'7", 230.
Yeah,
Carter Bryant, 6'8", 225.
Now, here's the thing
about this. See, I see Tamani more as a Draymond Green type playing the four, but he's more rugged and physical. Bryant's a little longer and leaner and can get out and run.
I'll say this. You might be right on that prediction. I'm not going to get into that. What I would say is this. You are not good enough for me to sit here and say, well, you have Tamani. I don't know about this Carter Bryant. Just like VJ Edgecombe had the Blazers jumped into the top four and gotten to a spot where Edgecombe is on the clock and that's clearly going to be our pick. I don't care that they have a Shaden. Care that they have a Tumani.
That's Scottie Pippen.
Well, I mean, no, I'm serious here. What did they do in the Neal era? Every 6'3 dude they possibly could get their hands on, they did it. Did that prove to be good? No. So they're kind of, and to their credit, I've said this before, they're bigger. Give me 6'8 athletic perimeter lockdown guy. Figure it out. We're not paid to figure that out. That's not my job. That's Chauncey's job. Their job is to go get talent. Go get talent. Is Oklahoma City worried about who's playing the two? No. They go get long, lengthy, rangy dogs. Go do that. Just, if that's Carter Bryant, go do it.
Is he a dog?
I think he's a dog.
If he's the best perimeter defender, as Tyler suggests, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
You're not a good defender on the perimeter unless you are a dog.
Got to be a dog to be a defender.
Now, I'll tell you this. I thank Tyler for coming on.
That's a good t-shirt right there. We should have that be a t-shirt.
I said, Carter Bryant, eyeballs wide emoji. And he responded with, absolutely, Bryant's fun. Don't overlook Cedric Coward. Washington State, he shot 40% from three. He's got a 7'2 wingspan.
Yeah.
And he averaged 17 points per game, and he had a great combine. He is rising up the boards. Coward.
He got hurt in the middle of the season.
And Bryant are two names now. Like, when you get to 11, these are areas where, again, you're not going to find Cooper Flagg. Can you find Jalen Williams? Can you find a Caruso type?
Brandon Pajemski.
A Pajemski. And that's the thing about this. We're all frustrated how it ended. We're not in the Flagg sweepstakes. Totally get it. I have now pivoted. I know they're keeping that pick. So how good of a player can they go get? It sounds like there's dudes on there. that can go in there and be good role guys for them.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I got some more NFL schedule notes. Don't worry. There's more. There's more in my notes on the NFL schedule.
Dear God.
Win by win, game by game. Who wins? Who loses?
You just sent me some Craig Berube audio.
I just sent you some audio that we will get to. We got some fun with audio coming
Who's
up in the
Craig
final
Berube?
Do you know who that is? We'll play that fun trivia question.
Baseball manager.
Can you name the team that he works for? We'll play that fun game. Also have some fun with audio. And look, it's a Thursday. It's a load of final hour. What the hell else are you going to do? Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.